Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Kale. Chris, man, softball, baseball, tournament action getting ready to kick off.
Yeah, the regular season's winding down, and we'll give you some of the scores from yesterday on Wednesday, May 4th, and then we'll roll into some of the tournament brackets. Malvern beat Highland in softball 9-2. Cam Marinucci with four hits and three runs scored. Teratucci a double, a triple, and an RBI. Malvern is now 8-8, 5-7 in the IVC. Strasburg sneaks by Sandy Valley 5-4. Hannah Duff with a triple, single, and two RBIs. Sandy Valley falls to 16-6. Newcomerstown down TCC 8-3. Riley Killish with a two-run home run and two singles for the Trojans. Ridgewood obliterated East Canton 16-0. Samantha Wilson pitched a one-hitter with six strikeouts. Allison Grove with a single, a double, and three RBI. The Generals are 13-10. So then moving into, taking a look at the high school softball bracket, some of our area teams, Joe, that are playing Division II Region 7. Claymont New Philadelphia will play May 11th at Claymont at 5 o'clock. Carrollton plays the winner of Studentville and East Liverpool on May 11th. West Holmes takes on Minerva this Saturday, and the winner advances on to play Tri-Valley. And then Division III, Region 11, Garraway, the number one seed, they play Tuskegee Valley on Monday the 9th at Garraway. Sandy Valley plays Coshocton Monday the 9th at Sandy Valley. And then Newcomerstown at Buckeye Trail Monday the 9th. Ridgewood plays Indian Valley at Ridgewood on Monday the 9th. Harrison Central plays at Bel Air on Monday the 9th as well. And then Division 4, Region 15, Malvern plays Bridgeport on Monday the 9th. Strasburg, they play at Toronto on the 9th. Highland plays at Steubenville Catholic Central on Monday the 9th. TCC plays at Fort Fry at home on Monday the 9th. So Dover plays Riverview, the winner of Riverview and Indian Creek on Wednesday the 11th.
Wow. So, but you got some good matchups there. Obviously, there's some teams that could possibly go pretty far this year. You know, we've talked about Garraway all year long. They've had a great season. They tripped up at Newcomerstown. I don't know what the issue was there the other night, but, they tripped up. But you know what? Maybe that brings them to earth a little bit more, and they can go a little bit farther there in that Division III tournament. But, you know, Dover, I'm looking for good things out of them. I think they can go a little ways, and I'm hoping I know for fact – I shouldn't say know for fact, but I know that they can definitely win game one. The second game will be a little bit of a challenge, yeah, but I think they can do it.
Yeah, they'll end up having probably Maysville, and that's going to be, unless somehow Zanesville ends up winning that ball game, I don't see that happening. I think Maysville ends up beating them. You know, Maysville is, I think, what, 18-1? It's going to be tough for them to beat them. But I think I think it'll be a good game. If they get by a Maysville team, man, I think they could make a good deep run into regionals. Like you said, Garraway, Sandy Valley, Indian Valley's pretty decent. Claymont's got a good squad. Claymont could surprise some people. I got to throw this out there, even though that we had the scores, Dover, they waxed New Philly twice. Combined score 21-0 in the two games. Brittany was 5-for-8. So pretty good, pretty good weekend for them.
Makes proud Papa Dover alum happy, right?
Yeah, it very much it does. You turn around, Olivia Belknap had two home runs in her final two games against New Philly. She hit one out at Dover on senior night, one out over at Philly on Tuesday. So, yeah, Monday and Tuesday, pretty good day for the Lady Tornadoes. New Philly, I got to say, they actually had plenty of runners on base. They just couldn't get the timely hits when they needed them. Dover was unhittable, as far as Trinity Thompson on the mound, man. She was rocking both days.
Yeah, sometimes that happens, and teams get the best of other teams. And sometimes, like we mentioned earlier, Garraway trips up to a team they probably should have beat pretty handily. But you know what? Sometimes teams look past other teams, and that's why they play the games.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, as from a Dover alum, I always like it whenever we can go and blank New Philly in two straight games. That's pretty good stuff. And then, of course, on the baseball side, the rivalry, Dover-New Philly split. So Dover won at home, Philly won at home. So, kind of good for both of those teams, bad for Dover fans, but
sure.
It's all good. But taking a look at some of those baseball scores from Wednesday the 4th, Highland, they hammered Malvern 13-0 in six innings. Damian Candle with a three-hit shutout on the mound. Highland is now 19-2. Ridgewood blasts East Canton 11-1 in six innings. Ridgewood 13-8 on the year. TCC all over Canton Valley 11-2. Tate Papuga wins on the mound. Austin Dick three singles and three RBIs. The Saints 8-11. Canton Valley 4-18. Strasburg sneaks by Sandy Valley 12-11 in a slugfest. Mitch Spinell with a grand slam and Jay DeBacco with a single, a double, and three RBI. The Tigers are 14-10, Sandy Valley 14-7. And then taking a look at the baseball brackets, Joe, you know, should be pretty interesting. Dover Division One, Region One are only Division One team in the area, and Dover's like the three seed. They play the winner of Worcester and Glen Oak at Dover Thursday the 12th. Division Two, Region Seven, Indian Valley hosts Claymont this Saturday on the 7th. New Philadelphia hosts Indian Creek Tuesday the 10th. West Holmes at John Glenn on Tuesday the 10th. Carrollton, they host Maysville on the 10th. And then moving to Division 3, Region 11. Newcomerstown hosts Bel Air Saturday. The winner plays Harrison Central on Tuesday. Ridgewood at Barnesville Tuesday the 10th. Sandy Valley hosts Union Local on the 10th. Tuskegee Valley at Edison on Tuesday the 10th. Garraway hosts Steubenville Catholic Central on Saturday the 7th. Coshocton, they host West Muskingum on the 10th. And Highland hosts Monroe Central also on the 10th. And then the final division with Region 15 for us, Malvern hosts Canton Valley on Saturday the 7th. Strasburg hosts Bel Air St. John and TCC at Bishop Rosecrans. Those games also on the 7th. So, man, baseball and softball tournaments just firing up, getting ready to move into the summer months, graduation coming, crazy time.
It's crazy, man, especially when you start rolling into, you know, the regional track meets and all of a sudden the softball tournament and the baseball tournament. You know high school, you know school's getting ready to wind down for the summer, and it's kind of sad to see, but that just means something's on the horizon for us coming up in the fall.
Absolutely, and then like you had mentioned with track, a couple cool notes here from Wednesday the 4th. Selena Mayforth, new school record for girls 400 in Indian Valley, 58.57 seconds, as Indian Valley beat Tuslaw 94-43 on the girls' side. On the boys' side, they beat Tuslaw 96-41. And then the final note on our high school side, Alex Johnson from Dover last week, 17 feet 10 inch school record for girls' long jump. Man, that's awesome. Congratulations to AJ.
That's getting it done, man. I mean, that's a long way to jump. And, you know, I was never coordinated enough to be a long jumper. I could high jump, but I couldn't long jump. And
yeah.
I just wasn't that sprinter that you need to be a long jumper. So hats off to all those track and field athletes, the softball players, baseball players, as you wind up your career, you know, for the seniors, obviously, you know, go out there like it's your last, you know, that's all we can say is, and have fun with it and go do it, you know.
And good luck at whatever you do in the future. And if you play, you know, softball, baseball, or run track at the next level, you know, good luck to you and just, you know, good luck in anything you do in life when you move to that next level.
Hey, Chris, a quick reminder to follow Big Z Sports on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports and on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. It's now time for headlines.
It is now time for headlines. And how about the Cleveland Cavaliers? Last night, they absolutely obliterated the Atlanta Hawks. The Cavs hit 18 three-pointers in the first half and led 74-38. They ended up going on to blow out an NBA record, whether it's playoffs or regular season, with 25 three-point field goals in a 123-98 thrashing. They go up 2-0 in a series. LeBron, 27 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds in only 3 quarters. J.R. Smith, 23 points. J.R. was 7 of 13 from three-point range. And, you know, J.R. Swish was on fire. K Love with 11 points, 13 rebounds. Kyrie, 19 points, 6 assists. They were 25 of 45 as a team from three-point range, Game 3 in Atlanta on Friday.
Do you know whose record they beat?
That is a good one. I would say it'd have to be Golden State.
It is Golden State, who set the record this year in the playoffs against Houston. in round
one. Oh, so that record didn't last very long.
Did not last very long, and I bet I would put money on it. I'm not a betting man, but if I was to put money on it, I'm almost say Golden State's going to try to beat that again before the playoffs are over.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think that they'll. You know, they asked LeBron last night. You know, hey, do you guys classify yourself as a 3-point shooting team? When did you start classifying yourself as that? LeBron was like, "We're not that. We're not a 3-point shooting team. It just, you know, we didn't even really try for the record. We just went out there and." Made shots. J.R. Smith has a green light all the time.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And once they got close, he said they seen something on a Jumbotron and was like, well, heck, let's go get it now if we, you know, we're a couple threes away. So
yeah, I was watching the game and I woke up at one point and I saw the score and I had to rub my eyes and like look real close. I'm like, is that score right? And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So
they were up almost 40 in the first half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a great win. I think that's about as good as they could probably play. They play game three on Friday and then game four on Sunday. So it'll be fun. Hopefully next week when we're talking, we'll be talking about the Eastern Conference Finals against – I'd like to see him play the Heat, believe it or not. I think it'd be cool.
I'd rather not have him play the Heat just for the fact that I think the Heat could give him some issues in spots. But I don't think that Toronto beats the Heat. So I think it'll probably –
I think Toronto's this year's Atlanta. Or last year's Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, I think it's obviously going to be Golden State and San Antonio on the other side, even though that series is 1-1. I think San Antonio beats them. I really do. I don't know why. So. I have a weird feeling that San Antonio beats them. But, you know, like you said, looking at Miami leads Toronto 1-0. Golden State leads Portland 2-0. And then San Antonio, Oklahoma City are tied at 1. Miami and Toronto play tonight at Toronto. And the Spurs in Oklahoma City, Cavs and Hawks all play Friday. So, you know, should be interesting winding down the NBA season.
Sure, and it's going to be fun. You know, over this past weekend, we haven't really talked much over the past 3 or 4 days. You've been working, but they had a draft a few days ago, and
they
you
did.
Know, and I think we were texting back and forth during it. You know, I must say, you know, we'll start the conversation with the Vikings and the Redskins took the receivers that the Bengals wanted. So the Bengals stepped up and said, huh, okay, well, we need a defensive back. Let's take the guy that the Steelers are targeting all along. And was it William Jackson or William Houston III, whatever his name is, or William Jackson III from the University of Houston playing with Tom Herman the last couple years? I guess that's fair, you know. And then Pittsburgh turns around and takes some guy I'd never heard of, which is great. But, you know, hey, the Bengals picked up one of your guys in the second round from the University of Pittsburgh. And Tyler Boyd, I think that was a great pick for the Bengals.
He's a great wide receiver.
Big receiver. They need another receiver after losing Sanu.
He's got great hands. Jones. He runs great routes. He's a big guy. He can go up and get it. He's also got a heck of a lot of speed. They can use him on a lot of screens and stuff. I think Tyler Boyd is going to be a good pro. I just hope not for the Cincinnati Bengals.
And, you know, one thing that really, really made me happy about this draft, you know, obviously 12 Buckeyes taken in the whole entire draft in the 7 rounds, 5 taken in the first round. They set numerous records for most players taken in the first.
Three in the top 10.
Yeah, three in the top 10. Or, yeah, 3 in the top 10, 5 in the top 20. And then they take 9 over the first 2 or 3 rounds, which was awesome to see. I think what was even better than that is none of the Buckeyes went to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising. You know what I mean? Yeah, it really is.
Oh, it's very surprising.
I was surprised whenever, you know, you turn around and you have, you know, Ohio State's tight end going. I mean, Vanette wasn't a great tight end, but I'm like, whoa.
Hyerman got picked by Denver. Vanette gets picked. You know, you look at Cardale Jones ends up in Buffalo. Braxton Miller ends up in Houston.
I think Braxton does well in Houston because they're rebuilding. But I don't know about Buffalo. I don't think that's the place Cardale wants to go. Rex Ryan doesn't have a good record with quarterbacks.
Well, he needs to sit back and learn the game. He's a 2 or 3 year project. I mean,
Saying Rex Ryan's doesn't have that good a track record with quarterbacks. I mean, with Mark Sanchez, he ruined him. He didn't do nothing with Geno Smith. You know, Chad Pennington's another one
career, but yeah, it wasn't anything. Like
it was a lot of shoulder injuries too. But I just don't think that. You know, Cardale needs somebody who's going to coach him, and I don't know if he's going to get that in Buffalo, but we'll see. And, you know, like you said, you mentioned a couple Bengals, you know, the Steelers, Artie Burns again, cornerback Miami. We got another corner and a defensive tackle bang, bang, bang. You know what I mean? They went defense, defense, defense. I think it was good. A pretty good draft. Some risky picks, I think. You know, DeMarcus Ayers, that wide receiver from Houston, he's not a big guy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you go wide receiver in that spot. It is what it is. I think it was one of those drafts where they got what they filled the needs that they needed to fill. With corners, safeties, some offensive line, defensive line help, they did what they needed to do. They didn't make a splash on no big names. You know, you're looking at the Browns, I thought they had a great draft. Their first pick with the 15th pick overall in the first round, you know, Corey Coleman, wide receiver out of Baylor, kid can fly. But everything I've read about him and seen about him, not sure I like that pick at wide receiver. I still think that you go with the kid out of TCU because he's a big target. Everything I've read out of Coleman is he's a horrible route runner. You know, he's got speed, but he does not run routes well. He's one of the worst route runners that come out of this draft. He's not a possession guy. You know, it's pretty much run down the field like Mike Wallace did. Run down the field, throw it up, and let him try and outrun somebody.
Sure.
I don't know if that's what they need. I think they need a possession. Give me a tall guy to throw the ball up to.
I give you that. I mean, they've had bad luck with Baylor wide receivers in the past couple years, obviously with Josh Gordon. But, you know, Corey Coleman was a 2015 Fred Biletnikoff Award winner as the best wide receiver in college football. Maybe they're looking at that and saying, you know what, that's a guy that we got to have. But I agree with you, Josh Doctson, who I was hoping would end up with the Bengals with the 24th pick, I think they had, or 23rd, whatever. But, you know, he ended up in Minnesota or Washington.
Yeah, I think it was Minnesota.
And, you know, if you look at some of the other receivers that they got, Corey Coleman, Ricardo Lewis in the fourth round, Jordan Payton in the fifth round, and Rashad Higgins in the fifth round at Cleveland. So, you know, that affects a little bit of Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, and Taylor Gabriel.
Sure does.
I think they now got to say, hey, you know what, they're
we got
to
play.
They're bringing guys in to take our jobs. So, you know, if you also look at the linebackers, Emmanuel Ogba, they took him with the first pick of the second round.
He's an end.
Yeah, which kind of.
But I like Nassib pick.
Yeah, Nassib is a good pick.
I like Carl Nassib, another defensive end. You know, Sean Coleman, I think, is going to be a good offensive tackle. I don't know who Schobert is, the outside linebacker from Wisconsin.
They say he was, like, legit, like, can go get the ball. He's kind of that Brian Urlacher type that flows to the ball.
I do not like the quarterback pick.
I'm not
Kessler
a big fan.
Is not. Here's my thing. Connor Cook's sitting there. You already had Hackenberg, who I said, in my opinion, I think is going to be the best quarterback in this draft. Hackenberg already off the board. You have, you know, he's just sitting there, and you pass him?
You know, I think it's more of a issue with his leadership. I think that's more. They didn't want a headache in the locker room. I mean, that came through when they showed in the Big
Ten. Kessler?
In the Big Ten.
He's just an accurate passer. That's all he is.
I agree.
He has no big arm. He has no speed. He doesn't do anything but throw accurately.
Well, that's a good thing, though.
It is a good thing, but you need a little more attributes in the NFL.
Sure.
It's okay to be an accurate quarterback in high school and college where you can sit back there and just pick people apart. But when you've got a rush coming at you, you need to get the ball down the field. You need to be able to escape the pocket. This kid ain't shown that. I don't think that was the right pick at quarterback. If you're going to take a quarterback, take one that, you know, can help you. I think Connor Cook could help him if RG3 goes down. Cardell, I think, still would have been a good pick for them, you know, as a learning a process. But I don't like Kessler. I don't like that pick. But my buddy Mark, he huge Browns fan. He is really, really high on Scooby Wright, the linebacker out of Arizona that they took in the seventh round. You know, he had a great junior year, was up there, you know, in the Heisman talks, and then just fell off the face of the earth last year. Yeah. So we'll have to see. I mean, I think he's another one. All in all, Browns, I think, get an A from me.
Sure.
Because they didn't get the A+ because I don't like the Kessler pick. I don't like the wide receiver pick. I think, but they filled the needs, so they don't get the A+, but I think they get the A because they didn't select Wentz or Goff at number one. They got picks. They traded down. They did something they haven't done in quite a few years.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. It's going to be interesting to see once their mini camp for the rookies show up in the next couple weeks And then obviously fall training camp opens up at the end of July, 1st of August, and see what happens with the Browns. Do I think they will be worlds better? No. Do I think they'll be a top five pick again? Absolutely. But I think they're building.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
And if they're smart, they're going to play for that number one pick overall next year and get their quarterback, and that would be Deshaun Watson.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.